Chapter 3. Violet's Story. I have had no ill treatment, but I cannot understand Mr. and Mrs. Rucastle. I must say I am not easy in my mind about them. When I came here, Mr. Rucastle met me and drove me to the house. It is in a very nice spot, but the house itself is not beautiful. It was once white, but is now badly stained and streaked by damp and bad weather. In front of the house are the copper beeches which give it its name. Mrs. Rucastle is a silent, pale-faced woman, much younger than her husband. He is a widower and already has a grown-up daughter who, I was told, had gone to America. Mr. Rucastle married again and now has a son of 6, a spoilt, ill-natured boy who seems to enjoy giving pain to anything weaker than himself. Then there are the servants, Mr. and Mrs. Toller. Mr. Toller is a rough, uncouth man with grizzled hair and whiskers. He always smells of drink, and I have twice seen him completely drunk, though Mr. Rucastle seems to take no notice. Mrs. Toller is tall and strong. She has a sour face and is as silent as Mrs. Rucastle. They are a very unpleasant couple. The first day I was there, Mr. Rucastle took me to an outhouse and showed me a huge animal. "This is Carlo, my hound," he said. "Toller is the only one who can control him. We let him loose at night. Do not ever set foot outside at night. It is as much as your life is worth." The sight of that dreadful animal sent a chill to my heart. On the third day, Mr. Rucastle called me to his study. "Thank you for pleasing us by cutting your hair," he said. "I wonder if you would put on the dress which is on your bed and then come to the drawing-room." The dress which I found in my room was an unusual blue. It had been worn before, but it fitted me very well. When I entered the drawing-room, Mr. and Mrs. Rucastle were very pleased and said how much it suited me. They asked me to sit close to the long windows, which I did. The chair faced away from the window, so I could not see out. Mr. Rucastle walked up and down, telling me stories. He was a good teller of very funny stories, and I laughed a lot, but Mrs. Rucastle just sat and looked sad. 2 days later, I was asked to do the same thing. Again, I changed my dress, and again I sat in the window. Once more, Mr. Rucastle told me stories. I was very curious, and I wanted to see what was going on behind my back. The next time I hid my small hand mirror in my handkerchief. I pretended I was wiping my eyes from laughing so much, but, using it, I managed to see out onto the road. There was a man looking up at the window. I think Mrs. Rucastle saw what I was doing. She stood up. "Jeffro," she said, "there is a man on the road staring at Miss Hunter." "Dear me, how rude of him. Please, Miss Hunter, turn round and wave him away." I did as I was told. Mr. Rucastle then drew down the blind. I was not asked to sit near the window again, nor was I asked to wear the blue dress any more. After a few days, I had a good idea of the layout of the house. There was one wing where no one seemed to live. The door to that part of the house was always locked. When I looked at that wing from outside, I saw that there were 4 windows in a row. 3 of them looked dirty, but the other one had shutters which were closed. When I asked Mr. Rucastle about it, he looked startled. "Photography is one of my hobbies," he said. "I have a dark room there." What a clever young lady to notice such things. He spoke in a joking tone, but I think he was annoyed. I was very curious, and I also had a feeling that I ought to find out more. Yesterday my chance came. Toller was very drunk. He had left a key in the door to the hidden part of the house, so I was able to open the door and slip through. In front of me was a little passage, off which I could see several doors. They were all open except one, under which there was a light showing. It was fastened with a huge padlock. I stood gazing at the sinister door and wondering what was behind it. Then there was a sound of steps inside the room. Suddenly I felt very scared, and I turned and ran back down the passage, clutching at the skirt of my dress. As I rushed through the door, I ran straight into Mr. Rucastle. "So," he said, What have you been up to? Oh, I'm so frightened, I cried. What has frightened you? He asked quietly. His voice was coaxing, but I was careful what I said. I was foolish enough to go into the empty wing, but it is so lonely and still in there, I suddenly felt scared. He looked at me, and his eyes became hard and fierce. Now you know why I keep it locked, and if I find you there again, I shall throw you to the hound.